Good evening. This is Classical 90.5. My name is Trevor Harris. Glad to have you company for the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour. We're in the midst of Act 3 of Die Fledermaus, which was staged last summer as part of the 2016 Hot Summer Nights Music Festival. Coming up later on the program this evening, we'll hear more from director Christine Seitz. We'll hear from one of the resident opera artists, Lacey Sauter, who portrayed Rosalinda in Die Fledermaus. And we'll start with some thoughts from the maestro himself, Kirk Trevor. He's our first guest at intermission on the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour this evening on Classical 90.5.
Opera, with most young musicians who have dreamed of becoming conductors, revolved around Wagner, I think. You know, and as a 14, 15-year-old, I fell in love with Wagner, imagined conducting the whole Ring cycle. And I don't think that's so unusual. I mean, I grew up in the late 50s, 60s, which was a big renaissance of Wagner. So my parents bought for me for my 16th birthday the George Schulte, Derek Cook complete Ring cycle with the 12-hour lecture by Derek Cook talking about all the leitmotifs of Wagner. I'd always been a singer, so it wasn't that singing was new to me, but certainly this combination of orchestral symphonic writing with voices on top of that was something that thrilled me. As opposed to, let's say, you know, Donizetti and the Bel Canto opera, which was less orchestrally focused, and I was still at heart an orchestral conductor, but wanted to sing, and so it was great works like Verdi Requiem and all of the great sacred works, which also featured the orchestra as an equal protagonist in these works. So that was my first love, and then when I finished my cello conducting studies at the Guildhall, I won a one-year position as an assistant conductor at the London Opera Centre. It was part of the Guildhall's opera program, conducting program, and with Willem Towsky, who was a famous orchestral opera conductor at the time. And that was at the Peter Stuyvesant Opera Centre, which was music was all sponsored by the cigarette companies back in those days. Peter Stuyvesant was a big opera sponsor in England at the time, and they had the London Opera Centre. And I worked on a number of amazing productions there, most notably Charpentier's Louise, which probably has rarely been done in the world because it had 70 singing roles, major singing roles, and it requires a huge space to be able to put them on. And the London Opera Centre was actually an old warehouse which ran the length of a football field, and the audience was basically bleachers along the whole, if you can imagine, from the 25 to the 25 on the other side, a kind of 50-yard set of bleachers was the audience, and this stage was literally, you know, 50 yards long. And so an opera like Louise could be produced there because they had the space and they had a number of singers, 70 at least.
That's the voice of Missouri Symphony Orchestra maestro Kirk Trevor. After working in Paris, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Dallas, he found his way to Columbia, where he ended up conducting the Missouri Symphony Orchestra each summer. Here, maestro Trevor looks back to 2016, and the origins of the Resident Opera Artist Program. It's good to have you company this evening for the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour on Classical 90.5.
They're here for 3 weeks, and the audition process tried to encompass all of the things that they are expected to do while they're here. So we require them to sing an aria from the opera production of that year, which I can't tell you this week, but I can probably tell you all next week after we have our sneak peek with the Missouri Symphony Society's kickoff of the Hot Summer Nights announcement of the season. But so the singers are expected to sing one aria or part of the opera production of that year. Then we ask them to sing something from the American Songbook so that we know that they have the ability to sing more popular styles, whether it's Gershwin or Cole Porter, because we want to be able to utilize them not only as true opera singers, but as communicators in other fields. And we certainly have lots of concerts during the Hot Summer Nights Festival that can incorporate community concerts. Then we ask them to do a 30-second introduction of one of their arias as if they were speaking to a family concert audience, because we do want to make sure that they are engaging in verbally and communicative. So we ask them to introduce it as if they were talking to children and adults alike. And that was very revealing, and I think it was one of the strong parts of our audition process, because we really got to see the personality of each singer as they spoke to us, the audition committee, which is a committee of one at times. But I videotaped it, all of the auditions, so other people could observe them. But having them talk and speak, and we could see whether they were really in tune with young people, whether they had the ability to communicate, whether there was a fire in the eye kind of thing. And then they had a free choice. They had three opportunities to sing and then a 30-second introduction. And we found in those 12 minutes of audition that it was very clear who we wanted to hear in the actual program.
That was Maestro Kirk Trevor, the music director and conductor of the Missouri Symphony Orchestra. They staged Die Fledermaus last summer. Christine Seitz directed that performance. Here she is talking about the Resident Opera Artist Program that she had a hand in establishing.
We're going to continue this program this coming summer, and do a performance of Verdi's La Traviata. So that's going to be wonderful. And these resident artists, we're going to have four come back and do the main roles in Traviata and make other appearances in other concerts with Hot Summer Nights.
Is there a typical training for an opera singer?
There isn't one specific path that everybody follows, but an opera singer has to have a lot of great vocal training, vocal technique. Their instrument has to be cultured over a number of years. Most singers don't grow into their mature instrument until their late 20s or early 30s. And so they start usually in late high school years or college years, and they start studying voice and getting performing opportunities and learning languages, learning musical styles as their voices are growing up. So operatic training can take many different paths, but that's the final result. And an opera singer, especially in this country at this time, has to be accomplished in at least four languages. Of course, English, but Italian, French, and German. And then if they're lucky, they'll get opportunities to sing operas in other languages like Czech or Spanish, or, you know, there are other great operas in other foreign languages. So singers do all of that training. Many singers these days get a lot of acting training as well. That's very important for an opera singer. Some of them get stage combat training and dance training as well. So all of those things go into that.
Christine Seitz there, the director of the 2016 performance of Die Fledermaus. She was talking about the Resident Opera Artist Program. One of the artists that participated in the inaugural program was Lacey Sauter. Here, Sauter gives us a plot synopsis for Johann Strauss Jr.'s operetta Die Fledermaus. We'll hear the finale to Act 3 coming up in a few minutes on Classical 90.5.
Basically, my maid gets a letter from her sister inviting her to a masked ball. She's an actress, so she thinks it's an opportunity for her to further her career. And then my husband and his friend have a history where my husband played a trick on him and left him in a park when he was drunk overnight in a costume. So he's seeking revenge on him and also invites him to this party. And then I get an invitation to the party to kind of catch my husband in the act of cheating. So we all show up at this party and, you know, madness ensues basically. But everything ends happy because it's an operetta. So.
So who is Rosalinda? What's her motivation in the story?
Rosalinda is the wife of Eisenstein. She used to be a singer, so she's got that diva quality to her, and she actually has a lover of her own on the side who is one of her tenor colleagues that comes into the story as well. So she's not quite innocent in the story. I think they're both, you know, trying to have fun, and they end up reconnecting as other people at this party.
I'm curious about your practice, your rehearsal. What does an average day look like in terms of getting your practice in, getting your studio time in, and maybe just we'll peel off one piece of that. How do you prepare to sing?
I mean, any day where you're going to have to sing, you have to warm up your voice a bit, which takes, depending on what I have to sing that day, usually 15 or 20 minutes of some exercises and stuff just to get ready and flexible to sing. And then depending on what I'm working on, like if I'm learning an operatic role, there's some prep work that goes in before, like writing in the translation and just familiarizing yourself with the piece beforehand, and then sitting down at the piano and plunking it all out. And then eventually you work with a coach who is a pianist who has studied opera and knows both language skills and a few vocal technique skills. So you work it with the coach to get it in your voice and make sure everything's correct. And then you work on memory. And typically I like to write things out because it helps me remember. Once you get to that point, you're probably in rehearsals. So we have to arrive memorized usually for the first day of rehearsals. That's always a challenge when you don't have all the moving pieces together like your other cast members to practice with.
When you're preparing for a role and you're not yet on site, what's your practice time like? Do you do your rehearsals in the early in the morning, midday, late at night?
I'm a night owl, so I prefer at least afternoon. Usually is my best time for singing, or sometimes in the later evening. When we get into rehearsals for actual shows, usually it's anywhere from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. we're rehearsing full-time when that happens.
And tell me about your studio there in Scottsdale in Phoenix. What kind of, what's the age range of student that you're working with, and what are they preparing for?
I have students from 13 to, I think, 35. It's the oldest one. So it's, you know, anywhere from amateurs to my older student is actually a pianist, and she has her master's in piano. And she just wanted to learn to sing better because she's a church musician and often has to work with the choir. So that was her interest in it. And the younger kids, you know, they're just getting into music and exploring what they want to do. So it's pretty fun.
And right now you yourself are preparing to head to California, to the Livermore Valley Opera, where you'll be taking on the role of Countess Almaviva in The Marriage of Figaro. Is that a new role for you?
It is. It's a new role. It's my first time singing it. Actually got here, let's see, Sunday night, and we started Monday. So today is our third day, so we're starting to tackle Act Two. But it's a beautiful opera, and I'm really excited to sing it.
That was soprano Lacey Sauter, who along with Mary Kettlewell, Nathaniel Hine, and Daryl J. Jordan made up the inaugural class of the Resident Opera Artist Program of the Missouri Symphony Orchestra. I asked Sauter what she saw as the biggest challenge to portraying Rosalinda in the staging of Die Fledermaus.
I think for me, because I'm not used to it, it was probably the dialogue. just memorizing it again without, you know, your other castmates to practice and rehearse and know your cue lines and everything. And it's just something that opera singers are not really used to, because obviously opera is completely sung throughout, and operetta, you add in the element of dialogue. So it's just something different. And it's easier, I think, to memorize words when you have music with it. So when you take away the music, it's even harder to memorize, I think.
So for the 3 weeks that you did spend here as an artist, what was the impact on you?
For me, it was really awesome to do the extra concerts. The Mozart concert especially, I got to sing an aria from Idomeneo, which is rarely done, and it's an awesome aria that I've always wanted to do with orchestra, so it was great to have an opportunity to do that. And it's also always fun to do pop music as well. I love Broadway music and spent a lot of time doing music theater earlier in my career, so it was fun to bring those back out too.
That was Lacey Sauter talking about Die Fledermaus, the operetta by Johann Strauss Jr. was staged last summer as part of the Missouri Symphony Society's Hot Summer Nights Music Festival. Here's the conclusion of Act 3 on the Missouri Symphony Orchestra Radio Hour.